Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Lunch and Learn session. My name is Morty Yalofsky, and I'm one of the co-chairs of the Campus Community Committee. I've known Jill for probably, we figured, about 9 or so years. As you may recall, just around 9 years ago, the university introduced a staff fitness program to be run during lunch hours, which I would hope many of you partake in. I did partake at some point, but I'm not part of it this year, unfortunately. And to get the program launched and going, we actually engaged Jill. And Jill was the person really to whom we can go ahead and attribute the success of the program in terms of the variety of programs, the scheduling, the good instructors, and so forth. So that's how I got to know Jill. About a year or so later, when the program was actually in operation, we submitted an outline of the program to CALBO, which is the Canadian Association of University Business Offices. And in fact, that program won the Quebec Regional Award in 2006, so it was recognized as being a positive type of program. Jill, as you might know, is a professional trained, trainer. She's a certified trainer who's had degrees in the area of leisure sports and recreational types of activities. She's in shape, she keeps very active, as you can see, but she wants to share, not only, you know, say, practice what you preach, she practices, but she also preaches, because since 1997, she has been the fitness writer for the Gazette, and many of us read her columns on a weekly basis. Not only does she talk about staff, about fitness of individuals, but she talks about nutrition, things to do with medicine, kids, particularly in terms of recreation. So all in all, she is very popular and very well known, and I know I've seen her columns not only in the Gazette, but in other papers, some of them on a national basis. We're fortunate to have Jill here because Jill, though she was once the assistant manager of recreation and fitness, I think that's the title, or she's no longer, well, she still does that, but she's now assumed the position of communication manager for the Department of Athletics. It's a recent type of appointment. And given her success in the Gazette, I certainly understand why the Department of Athletics went ahead and selected her for such. Today, it's our pleasure to have her talk to us basically on the challenges of fitness that are facing this current baby boomer generation. So it's my pleasure to introduce Jill Barker.
So thanks for coming. For anybody who came to see or was worried that the lecture I gave, I think, a few weeks ago is the same, it is not the same. I will give the same warning, though. I usually like to shut the doors and lock them because when we do the sit-ups and push-ups, people start to kind of... But today we're just going to do the talking approach, though it's not uncommon that I might have you get up and show some of your stuff. So what I want to talk about is really about the baby boomer era and aging and some of the misconceptions about age and what we can and cannot do. And also, I want to discuss, you know, is it the end of your life as you knew it, as you get into those 50s and 60s and 70s and beyond? And it used to be actually that, you know, we did think that as we got to a certain age, it was an excuse to put our feet up. But we know that that is not an excuse to put your feet up. These guys don't and haven't. But this guy does. So we want to find out, really, is the question. Does age make us slow down, or are we slowing down because we're not moving enough? And really, I'm going to tell you, we're slowing down because we're not moving enough. And we have examples and many, many good examples of people who have taken that age thing and said, I am going to blow that idea out of the water that when you get to a certain age, you can settle, and they don't settle. And I'm going to suggest to you that you don't need to settle either. So Chris Chelios, 48 years old, recently signed with the Atlanta Thrashers. Hockey's a tough sport, and he has been playing, I don't know, since his early 20s. And there is not a sport that doesn't bash your body as much as that. And this guy has been able to be successful on the ice and still play at a competitive level at 48. And we know now, too, that there's a whole new society of active boomers and older people out there. And what the scientists are really interested in these people, because they're finding out now what they can and cannot do. And this is a very highly studied group. So we're trying to say, hey, you know, what are these really active boomers and beyond? What are they doing? And what is their secret? Nobody actually really knows. But we do know that you can be competitive, and you can be competitive in a highly competitive environment up until you're about 70. Though this guy, at 304 for a marathon at 76 years of age, I would die for that time. Okay, so he is more than competitive. And he has just kept up his training exactly what he did in his 20s, he did in his 30s, he did in his 40s, and he did in his 50s, 60s, and 70s. And he hasn't lost a step. So, what's the answer? What we do know as we get older, we're going to kid ourselves into thinking that we can do exactly the same thing we did when we were younger. You can have the same type of competitive goals. You can have health goals. You can have recreational goals. These are all you can do physically. But the body does not react the way it did when you were 20 and 30 and maybe even 40. So we know that. So we do have to make some adjustments in order to kind of have the success that you want. And when I talk competitive, I'm just going to keep talking at that level, though I'm not sure how many people here are going to be looking, you know, to run marathons at that competitive level or trying to get into the London Olympics. I think we've, you know, kind of given that up. But I don't want us to say always that we're just going to settle. I want you to have goals. And I want you to set those goals into, you know, a place that you didn't think you could get there. Because I think you can. And telling yourself that you can't is just making an excuse to sit down and watch more television. I can't do this. I coached master swimming for many years, and I had a woman come up to speak to me, and she had some knee problem. And she went to her doctor, and this woman was in good shape. She was a great swimmer. She was walking 2 or 3 kilometers on the weekends, as well as swimming 3 times a week. And but this knee problem was really bothering her. She went to her local doctor. And she had short gray hair, and he said, well, you're too old. That was the idea. So he looked at her and made some kind of, he just said, well, you know, she's got the gray hair. Even though she looked like she was in great shape, he made a conclusion. And I said, well, I wouldn't go back to that guy. And I sent her somewhere else, and what happened is she just had a little, what they call hypermobility in her knee. They did a little physio, and she was good to go. Not an age issue at all. So the barriers come not just from yourself, but sometimes from other people. Sometimes from family members, sometimes from physicians, sometimes. And so, you know, here we have to always prove to ourselves that we can. And we have to tell other people that we can. And when we do, other people will as well. So these guys, Ed Whitlock and Chris Chelios, they're really great examples of what we can do. All right. First thing that we have to do, minimum, 30 minutes per day of physical activity. Now, in my other talk, I talked about this, but this really deserves a second and a third and a fourth reminder. And you don't have to do all this 30 minutes at once. Okay, this is the minimum. What you have to do is you can parcel it out into three 10-minute bouts. You can do 2 times 15. You can get your at your lunch hour and you have your hour, an hour and 15 minutes, and you know you got a phone call and I don't have enough time. You have enough time. Up, out of the desk, 10-minute walk. It's been beautiful these past days. Up, out, 10 minutes. That's one. When you come in the morning, however you get here, you get off the bus earlier, or you walk to the bus or train, or whatever, that's your other 10 minutes. That's two. You repeat it on the way home. You get off that bus 10 minutes earlier, you park your car 10 minutes further away, whatever you do, that's three. Easy. You have to start thinking about ways to incorporate more activity in your day. And even people who come down to take their fitness classes, the staff fitness, that's great. 2 times a week, you've come there, it's a 45-minute class, perfect. If that's all you do during the week, not perfect. You're an active sitter. Right? You spend all the rest of your time at the computer, TV, bus, and then twice a week for 45 minutes, there you are. Do you need to do more organized activity? Not necessarily, but add this, and now you're getting somewhere. All right, 60 minutes is even better. And do you need to do that every day? No. But what we do know, and what some of you have probably realized in a very unfortunate way, is that if you keep your activity level exactly the way it is, God forbid your body's changing without you even having any control over it. What we know now in women and men, they hit that midlife, is in order to kind of keep that body somewhere where you're a little more comfortable with it and kind of get rid of some of those age-related changes, you got to crank it up. Not a lot, but you have to increase. So, you know, that's kind of the bad news, is that even if you're doing the max, you might have to do a little bit more. All right, weight room. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of before and after. I actually think he still looks pretty good. And, you know, he's going into, and I don't know how old he is, but 70s, right? No? No, 50 yet. 60s? So he actually looks pretty good. But one of the things that we know that happens is that we lose muscle mass as we age. So even if you kept the same weight as you were in high school, as if, your body would look that much different. Because there's less muscle and more of that other stuff that doesn't look like muscle. So what we want to try to do is we want to get to the gym and try to do some weight training. Now, you can do it at the gym, perfect. You can also do some at home. And if that exercise everybody loves to hate, push-ups, is one of the actually great things that you can do at home. And to build upper body strength. So what we do know is that even if you're active, and notice that these are runners and swimmers and cyclists, so they're more the aerobic animals, they haven't hit that weight room, they are going to see a loss of muscle mass. And they're going to see, you know, and we all know what that changes are in our body. And the good news is that a couple of times a week, doing weight training exercises, you can really change how you look. And you can really make a big difference. And not only does the weight room do that for you, what it does is, I tell people, it can kind of change your shape. So even if your shape wasn't so great to begin with, all right, so if you're a little heavier in the hips and a little tinier in the shoulders, and there's weight training you can take, now your shoulders are bigger, and all of a sudden, even though your hips haven't shrunk, because I'm going to tell you, if you got your mother's hips, you got your mother's hips, then what happens is you've got a little more balanced look. Also, as you add weight training, what you're going to have is a lot more vitality. And so not only is it an appearance-based thing, but as we get older, we're able to do less, you know, those lifting, though, you know, the anything heavy, the garbage can, etc. All those things become harder to do. So if we maintain that muscle mass, we're able to function at a higher level as we age. And that's important. Ah, yes. Warm up. Here's the big deal. You know, I have I have daughters that are in their early 20s, and they are competitive athletes, and they can get in, and they can do almost anything without warming up, and that's not me. Okay. An older body takes a little bit more time to get organized. So we have to spend those 10 to 15 minutes warming up the body. And I'm going to just get into a little detail about what that means. Back in the day when you were in high school and maybe even beyond, the warm-ups usually started with stretching, right? And then, yeah, maybe there was some walking, etc. Well, now the stretching component of the warm-up is out. That goes at the end. What you want to try to do is you want to prepare your body for the activity you're going to be doing. And the best way to do that is simulate the activity you're going to be doing. So if you're warming up for a hockey game, per se, and I love this warm-up. My husband plays old-timers, and this is their warm-up. Grab the bag out of the back of the car, run in with their bag at the last minute, put on their gear, they sit on the ice, they do these groin exercises, you know, those ones that I just kind of cringe at, and then they get on the ice and they think they're ready to go. And half of them are spending their time, right? You need to change up how you want to warm up. So these guys need to show up a little bit earlier. They need to get their gear on. They need to do, and if they can get on the ice earlier, they need to get around, they need to start to just skate, not fast, right? So you're going through a smaller range of motion until their heart rate gets up and they're starting to sweat a little bit and the joints are warming up, and then they can add a little more speed. And now they want to start, they want to have the puck and the stick, and they want to go through some of the actions that they normally do in a game, in a kind of a slower, fuller body motion. So you really want to be moving now through a larger range of motion, and then toward the end of the warm-up, you almost want to take it up to speed. Because you want to slowly get your body to the point that you're going to use it. So you don't want to step on the court or the ice or anywhere else after you've warmed up in this slow, gentle manner and then gun it. So you want to get yourself there gradually. So you start, first of all, in smaller ranges of motion. You take them to larger ranges of motion, and then you can add some speed. And that's the way you warm up. If you want to talk just about something like walking or running, what you want to be doing, and where people have trouble with the walking, it's more the arm swing and the posture. So you start off a bit slower, and then you're just rolling up the shoulders, getting the hips, the feet, etc., moving, and then away you go. Slower, and then bring it up to speed. 10 minutes. 15 if you have the time, right? And even the most, you would not see even the younger Olympic athletes cheating themselves on the warm-up. Their goal is they want to hit that slope at their peak. They've got to be warmed up mentally and physically. Your goal is to be able to play, run, walk, cycle, whatever, without getting hurt. Still an important goal. Okay. Introduce new activity gradually. Perfect time of year to talk about this because the weather is calling. And people are going out there and they are thinking, even if you know you cycled and you haven't cycled all year and you're used to cycle at work, they get on their bike, they get really enthused, out they get, and you hurt yourself. You really have to make sure that you start new activity gradually. And even if you think yourself you're in really great shape, if you change activities, you will find that you can easily hurt yourself. I run, I swim, I do all this stuff. I got asked to play in this softball tournament, this charity softball tournament, and I haven't played softball since before kids, probably. And anyway, so, you know, I thought, I'm in good shape, pretty hot stuff, I'll be able to handle it. Sunday, I could barely walk. I am not used to, I mean, hitting was fine, but going from home plate to first base, which is a full-on sprint for 90 feet, I don't do that in my life anymore. I don't, you know, if I'm missing the bus, I just miss the bus. Right? I just don't have any sprinting in my life anymore. So all of a sudden I was doing this, you know, and that was not a good idea. And other people do this as well. You go to a Club Med or my family, we have a family camp. So anyway, everyone goes and there's, you know, basketball and tennis and all sorts of stuff. And I see these people who have never done any of this stuff all year and they come and they pick up a racket and they play badminton. And sure enough, you know, by Tuesday and Wednesday, it's like there's a parade of people limping. Right? So 10% a week. That's what you want to think about. You're going to start off with something. You just add 10% in terms of duration, so time, intensity, or distance, however you want to measure it. But that's the safe way to do it. All right. We all know as we get older, our posture changes for the worse. Part of it is just because we have been spending decades after decades sitting. And so this becomes the comfortable posture, and this is the posture that's hard to maintain. And we've seen, you know, an older population, you know, those older people, this walk, all right? You don't want that. That is not part of aging. That is just someone who has really not been able to take care of their posture. And what happens is poor posture gives you a lot of aches and pains that you're going to relate to age. But I'm going to relate it to poor posture. Now, there's a lot of ways to work on posture, but one of the best ways is, to be honest with you, is Pilates. Pilates it works on a lot of posture. Pilates was a dance-inspired exercise. And who has better posture than dancers? And that was one of the things that Pilates was there for, is that dancers always want to be nice, tall, centered. And not only do they be nice, tall, and centered, they want to be able to do it, you know, with one leg this way or doing this, all right? They don't collapse. So we have to really work on that beautiful posture as they get larger. And that's something that we can do. So Pilates is one of the best ways to do it. It's very accessible. Every place has a Pilates class now. Yoga, to a certain extent, will do it as well. All right, weekend warriors. So here are the people who just, you know, they're very sedentary during the week and then out into the weekend. Or it's, you know, they're sedentary all winter, and away they go in the spring. So that kind of up and down, I'm exercising, I'm not, I'm here today, not like, that is tough on the body. Because what people normally do is they always start back where they left off. Right? Regardless of the gap and the number of years or decades in between, they always start off where they left off. Hence the problem. So really, consistency is what is going to work for you. Those 30 minutes, if you can keep that 30 minutes every day as baseline, everything else you do after that is going to be easier. You need to move. And then your body understands movement. When you stop moving, your body doesn't get it anymore. And when you stop moving, you start to do very, you know, you start to be in a very limited movement pattern. So you do this. And you're really good at doing things that are within that seated zone. But as soon as you have to do something like this or move quickly, then the body goes, what's going on? This is way more work than I have to do to get at my computer. So you really have to make sure that you don't let yourself, you know, be inconsistent and not realize that this idea of exercise is a lifelong idea, a daily idea, a minute-by-minute idea. Flexibility. We know this, right? Kids, they can go down and scoop something up and come back up in no time. The rest of us, it takes a little longer, right? Part of that is just a lack of flexibility. Again, we only work if we work in a very small range of motion. That's what our body is good at. So we really have to stretch. And you can do those stretches, and really there's 5, 6 really good stretches. If you did them twice a week, 3 times a week, you'd be good. It's great. Go to a yoga class. Fabulous. But if you can't go to a yoga class, it doesn't mean that you can't improve and maintain flexibility. And we can go through those exercises after. Balance. One of the things that really ages us the most is that lack of balance. And we know that we lose balance, I think, because what we will see... is that, you know, as people get older, they can't go up and down the stairs without grabbing the railing. That's a lack of balance. What happens, I told this story before, is I had a woman who came to see me and she said, I don't know, she was in her 50s at the time, and she said, Jill, what I really don't want to have happen is I don't want to have to sit down to put my boots on. For her, that was being old. So I said, hey, no problem. We can work on that. Balance is one of those things that you can work on at home, on your own. And it's one of the things that helps you maintain youthful vitality, is being able to actually maintain balance. It's really important. As you walk, you're always on, you're going to be part of that time on one foot. When you lose that balance, that's when that older people shuffle comes in. That's balance, nothing else. So what we want to do is work on our balance, and what we can do to work on the balance is very easy. It's a daily thing. You're brushing your teeth, you're going to do it on one foot. Then you're going to do it on the other. Washing dishes, one foot, then the other. When you get really good, you close your eyes. Close your eyes. Start to do one foot, then the other. Once you got that down pat, you add a pillow. I'm never happy. We'll just keep making you it harder and harder. The further you move your leg away from your midline, the harder it is to maintain balance. This is easy. This is harder. That's hard. So that's the other thing that you can do. Standing there, you got this one down pat, now start here. Okay? Takes a lot more effort. Start with bare feet. Spread those toes out. Nice. Bigger the base is easier. And then start with shoes. Way more functional. Because you got to be balanced in shoes as well. Mix it up. Now here, I didn't know how to show this. This is a triathlon. I don't want people to start to panic about thinking they have to do three different sports. The idea of mixing things up is just that if you continue to do the same thing all the time, overuse injuries happen. And they happen a lot more as you get older. 40 plus, you know, frozen shoulders and all those itises. It's called actually boomeritis, and the bursitis and the tendonitis, et cetera, et cetera. That really starts to blossom. And it can be as simple as, my husband has tennis elbow. Does he have it from tennis elbow? No, he's that weekend warrior guy because we went cross-country skiing and he hadn't been cross-country skiing for a dog's age. And, you know, I don't know, got a little excited and he's over-gripping the pole and now has, from one time, a nice little tennis elbow. Easy to do. Now, my daughters who were, you know, in their early 20s, that would not have happened. So we have to, you know, we have to be careful and we have to make sure that we're not doing any kind of overuse. That wasn't an overuse injury. That was just, I think, that weekend warrior thing. But the cross training. So if you love to swim, even if you love to swim and you want to stay in the pool, I'm going to suggest you don't do all front crawl. Okay? Front crawl, backstroke, breaststroke, butterfly, whatever. Right? Mix it up. You're a runner, spend some time doing some upper body stuff. Do some yoga, do some Pilates. Mix up. Walkers, same thing. You don't necessarily see a whole lot more injury when they're walking all the time, but you've got the same type of posture. And walkers do. They get shin splints. They have some foot problems. So you really make sure that you try to think of different ways to change things up. And even as much as if I can't get you to do something other than walk, I'm going to say walk a different route. All the roads and the sidewalks, you do the same one. They all have the same. They have a tilt. So if you're always running on the right-hand side, right, you're always walking the same route, you know, you can get into some trouble. So what you want to try is change up that route. Add some hills, have some flats, whatever. Change it up. All right. This is kind of a bad news thing, I have to say, but there's, and this is about older runners, but it really is with anybody. What we can see here is that the older you get, there is more just muscle damage from activity, and you need more rest. A lot of older runners, and they were an everyday kind of runner, and they find actually that if they go every second day, they feel better, they perform better. And I'm going to say that, you know, it's not always about putting the numbers up there. So even though 30 is your new number and 60 is even better, we don't always have to make sure that, you know, if we're going to do that 60, that we do that 60 the same way all the time, and that we don't have some kind of rest. So the rest can be not just putting your feet up, but a hard, easy day. So if you want, you know, if you find you're tired on one day, then make sure you go out, but make it easy. The definition of exercise, it's technical, but the easiest thing remember is if you can hear yourself breathe, you're exercising. Right? That's what you want to think about. So when you, even walking up, I take the train and I walk up to the gym, I will try in the morning, I go up those Sir Osler, you know, all those stairs up there. So I there's a, you know, there's an easy route, and on days when I'm not feeling so great, I can do the easy route, but I also do the stair route. And what I try to do is I take those stairs so that at the top, I'm, my heart's going and I'm breathing hard. Right? That's a change from just my stroll. So that's the difference from window shopping at Fairview to fitness walking. But it's also something you can adopt if you're going around campus or anywhere else for that 10 or 15 minutes. Get yourself into the zone where you can hear yourself breathe. Now you're in that aerobic zone and you can start throwing around. Well, I was in my aerobic zone for 10 or 15 minutes. That's where it is. Now, in order for you to know where, and if you're ever worried, and I hope some of you get worried about, am I working too hard? The way you can tell whether you're working too hard is there's something called the talk test. And the talk test is you should be able to talk to your neighbor. So you're walking or you're running or you're cycling or whatever you're doing together. You should be able to hold a conversation. If you can't, you're working too hard. If you don't have a neighbor or somebody to test it out with, you're going to have to do, you know, you have to say the alphabet or sing. It has to be out loud. If you're able to do it, you're in that right zone. If you're able to, like, woo-ha-ha-ha-ha, you're not in the zone. Right? But if you're really having trouble talking, then you need to bring it down. And that's quite. So trying to get yourself into that zone for even a shorter period of time is better than a lot of window shopping at Fairview. Okay? So you can get your 30 minutes, but better than eating cake at home, which is my, like, my baseline. Listen to your body. Now, aches and pains are part of life. I happen to think a lot of aches and pains are really due to just inactivity. But there are other aches and pains that are related to activity, or like I have one now because I did a red eye. And I don't know, sleeping in a red eye or trying to sleep, that's an ache and pain. Okay? But that's interestingly enough, that's a seated injury. That's you can get hurt sitting. Backaches, it's a seated injury. You can get hurt. So when people say to me, oh, you know, I can't run, I can't do whatever because I'm going to get hurt. Well, I mean, you're going to get hurt sitting there in front of your computer. So you listen to your body. And when things start to hurt, you have to deal with it as soon as you can. And there's a difference between effort and that feeling of effort, like you're pushing yourself, and you may think that that's uncomfortable, that's a very different feeling. And the reason you want to get it away is that the longer you wait, the longer it takes to recuperate. And who's got the time? Though we do have a sports medicine clinic up, right? So, you know, you can get help, but get it early. And you can't use that as an excuse not to exercise. Because even if you've got an ache and pain here, there's, if you ask and you say, well, there's probably something else I can do, yes, you can. And the reason you want to do that is the more blood pumps through your system, the faster the healing. So you have to work with your healthcare provider to say, okay, I can't do this, but what can I do? And once you get into that stage and older people, they get into the hospital, something happens, you know, they sit around or anybody, you're in your bed, and then you get out and you say, well, that's it, I can't do anything anymore, I mean, I'm too old, etc. Well, no, actually what happens is you haven't been moving, your muscles have atrophied. Try to do the same things. Don't forget, we always try to do what we did last. When you try to do those things, you're no longer capable because you haven't been doing them. And so you think it's age, but really it's not. Inactivity. But respect your body. It's telling you something. Don't ignore it. Wow. So that's my little slide just saying, you know, that's my slide to say, hey, you tell yourself you can't do stuff. And she's able to do this because she was obviously able to do this. Maybe she was a rocket. I don't know what she was. But she hasn't given it up. And she hasn't let anybody tell her she couldn't do it. And so here she is doing that way better than anyone, or I'm assuming anyone that here could do. And I'll tell this other story, and if you are at my other talk, I'm going to excuse me if you heard this again, but I interviewed this gentleman who, he at the age of 55 retired, and he decided after he was going to, he retired, that he wanted to be an athlete. And he was no athlete in advance. So, and not only did he want to be an athlete, he decided he was going to be a triathlete. So he, you know, did the run and walk and swim. And he started out like just about anybody else. He was just kind of trying to get to the corner store at a faster pace. And he kept at it. And sure enough, he was able to complete Olympic distance triathlon, which is 1 kilometer swim, a 40-kilometer bike ride, and followed by a all rest. So he was able to do this, and he was continuing to do triathlon at 80. And at 84, he was faster than he was at 82. So he did not run. He did not set limits. He didn't worry about age. He didn't let anybody tell him he couldn't do it. He had a goal, a competitive goal, which he reached. He was persistent and consistent. And he also had a few little bumps along the way. He was cross-country skiing. They can get these cross-country skis on wheels on Lakeshore Road in the West Island, and he fell and broke his hip. Recovered, came back. Had to have bypass surgery, recovered, came back. Now, you can bet the doc was not saying, hey, Roman, go on out there afterwards and do your triathlon. He realized, you know, what he could do. He made those goals and he achieved them. And these are things that you can do. Is if you give yourself a goal and work toward it, following those principles, you'll achieve it. Most of us make mistakes. It's not that we can't do it. We don't do it properly. We don't respect our bodies and our aging bodies and just have a different approach. So the first time you were able to complete those goals, you were younger. You didn't have to follow those rules. But now you follow those rules and you can achieve those goals. So set one. Find a goal out there. Follow the path. Be consistent. And even if it takes you a year to achieve that goal, you can achieve it. And even if that goal is the 30-minute goal, achieve it. Because all of you can do that. Part of it is coming here, which obviously means you're ready to receive the message. So now what you have to do is take what you found here, keep the message inside, find that 30 minutes, even better find 60 every now and again and go out and achieve it. And then you'll be here. And that's something to show your grandchildren. Thank you very much. Questions? Sorry, I have time, right?
Yes.
Questions?
Karaoke time? In your opinion, what do you think about posturology?
Ooh, I'm not really sure what posturology
is. Okay, it's the person I saw was had a physio degree and osteo degree, and he posturology is the work of magnets and a foot. And he said it works, but I didn't continue. I just thought maybe you knew something else.
Well, I can't comment on a therapy I'm not familiar with, but what I will say is that posture is dynamic. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to maintain posture, not just in a seated and a standing position, but anything else you do. And so I think that improving posture has to be dynamic as well. So it's not a passive, and if maybe I got it wrong, but I assumed that was kind of a passive approach. And that wouldn't be my first choice. Yes.
When we're walking, is it helpful or important, do you think, to have light weights in our hands or like to help with the arm movement or on our ankles, or what would you recommend?
Well, first of all, I'm a real believer in figure out what your goal is and then follow that path. So I'm not really sure what your goal is, but I think you're trying to do a lot of stuff at once, multitasking. Okay, but what happens is when you add that weight, it actually really throws your posture off, that extra weight. It's not recommended. Plus, honestly, you know, you're carrying 1 or 2 pounds and you're swinging it this way. Actually, you're really getting really good at carrying 1 or 2 pounds and doing it this way. So I think the idea for the walk is more a cardiovascular, a health, vitality, and you don't need that. And in fact, sometimes that can get shoulder injury, et cetera. So when you start swinging weight at the end of a long lever, ouch, it can be an ouch.
Earlier on, you spoke about 5 stretching exercises that can kind of do it all.
Good for you. Okay. All right. So one of the things, you guys ready for this? All right. Okay. So one of the things we're going to try to think about is, and I can show you some camera. Not going to be a good angle. So what we want to do is upper body. So our life, we spend a lot of our life in this type of position, right? It's like the computer, the book, anything else. So what we want to try to do is we want to stretch the trap. So those are the muscles here. So you're going to have to do this with me here. All right, hard in a jacket. And you're going to press those elbows down and fingertips toward the ceiling. And it's got to be very dynamic, all right? Push down, fingertips toward the ceiling, press those shoulders down, sit up straight. Thank you. All right? Down. Can you feel it? Yeah. Yeah. That's your computer stretch, people. And then on the other. Down, nice length, upright. Doesn't help if you're doing it this way. Okay, number one, right? Number two, hamstring stretch. So I'm going to show you just one at the desk, but you can do this anyway, is you just really want to lift that leg up, okay, straight from the hip. All right, here. If it gets a little tight, you just have to have a little bit of a bend, but you want to have that nice hamstring stretch. I like to do it lying down, all right, one leg up, the other leg bent, and when it gets rough, just get a towel and help with the assist, right, wherever you're comfortable. And when you stretch, it's tension, just to the point of light tension. Not shaking. Hold. 10-15 seconds. Release. You usually get cramps and you get it in your toes. Yeah. Yeah, what you have to do is relax the foot. when you want to stretch, often, especially when you're trying something new, there's tension everywhere, right? So you've got to relax, and usually that means you're kind of trying to kill it. Relax, all right? So that's hamstring. The other one is a hip one, and I'm going to just show you carefully. You're going to be on your back. Sorry, guys. And this one, all right? It's called the figure four. So you're going to lie down. Your head's going to be back. So that's going to keep the hip mobile, all right? We've got the hamstring, which gets tight. We have the traps that get tight. And the other one that I like to do is, well, for the neck. We can look at that in a sec. But I want you to, you're on your belly, and you're just going to push up. You've seen that, right? That kind of cobra. Now, you can do that on a very passive. It's just up a little bit. This, you know, with the straighter arm is more aggressive. You want to try to keep your head in line with the spine, so it shouldn't be anywhere. And that is just your opening stretch. It opens up the chest, and it works the back through a nice full range of motion. You do not want to do that one first thing in the morning. Okay? Your spine in the morning, especially as you get older, you shouldn't be doing like sit-ups and doing all that really aggressive stuff in the morning, first thing. You might be able to, you know, just do a little, but nothing too extensive in the morning. So there you have your core. Okay, the legs more tight here, and the hips and the traps. And you know, you can always do this stretch, which is super important as well, is especially because we get really forward chin, is always in and out, in and out. Anytime, you can do them at least 2 to 3 times. And what you should feel, so you're going to hold for 10 to 15 seconds, relax, repeat, relax, repeat.
There's a question. How do you know that pain is just passing pain, or when do you have to get it checked out? And would you exercise during that pain? Will it make it worse or better?
If it persists and it changes the quality of your life, you get it changed. And persists, I usually had give it a 2-week window, but if I can't sleep, I can't walk properly, I can't do whatever, I go sooner. So if you can't do what you normally do, that's the time to go. I'll just go to the back because we've had.
Hi. I wonder, is it an indication of, if I get a good sweat on to work, is that an indication of me burning calories, or do I have to get a sweat on in order to get some good exercise?
Well, okay, there's a couple of things there. I'm not sure what your goal is. Is it to burn calories, mm-hmm. to get exercise? So if we want to do the whole calorie thing, and I'm happy to go there, I'm just going to give you the bad news to begin with. You want to lose weight? It's a lot of time. Minimum 45 minutes of exercise, most if not all day of the week. And I'll tell you why. 30-minute walk for most of us, burning 150 calories, right? You come back, you have a bottle of Gatorade, there's your 150 calories, okay? So hard to take off, so easy to put back in. People underestimate the amount of this they do and overestimate the amount of this they do. And it takes a lot. Maintaining weight, you know, so it is still calories in and calories out, cookie diet and grapefruit diet and all that other stuff all aside, it's calories in and calories out. The other part of life that is this is really sucks part of life is that I can do that and get some results and somebody else can do it and not get the same results. So, you know, it's a prescription that's different for everybody. So, the calories you burn, any type of activity will burn calories. So, obviously, like I say, sitting at home, eating cake, not good. Going out for a walk, better. Exercise is something that I deem is you've got some kind of, it's that next level up. So that 30 minutes, that's health. You're going to improve health, reduce your risk of cancer, you reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You've heard it all. That's health. That's 30 minutes most days. a little bit more is you're going to be more fit. Okay? And often that more fit means, yeah, you can run to catch the bus, you can keep up with your grandkids, your kids, you can, you know, do more kind of physical activity over a sustained amount of time. Fitness. Way more for competition. Does that answer? Great. A little bit long.
You don't have to answer this, but around how old are you?
'Cause
you look like you
are. I'm 50. Sorry, one here.
I'm wondering if I don't like to go to a gym. So how does walking or biking or cross-country skiing compare with muscle building to going to a gym?
Well, I mean, you'll get some localized, because, you know, if it's a lower body or an upper body workout, you will get some muscle building through there. But then you don't get that much more challenge, right? Because you're doing the same thing and you kind of have to ramp it up. But I wouldn't say you have to go to the gym. You can get weights at home. You can do squats and lunges and all that kind of stuff at home. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's not magic in the gym. The magic is you. The gym is a place. You.
I didn't like the fact that there's a gym and you have to do the repetitive things and it's so boring and everybody else around you looks boring.
Yay!
I'm doing 15 hours of dancing per week.
Wow. There you go. See?
And it's so much fun, and you're doing it with other people.
I mean, I think that's, you know, one last message, because I know we got to run, and you can ask me questions afterwards, no problem. But here's the deal. You got to find what you love. Your neighbors can tell you that, you know, and I can tell you, go to Pilates class. You're going to go to Pilates class saying, what the heck was she talking about? I hate it. Find something you love. It'll work. Thank you.
I just want to thank Joe Barker for being here and enlightening us all today. And I've got some of my own take-home messages, and I'm sure everyone else does too. Thank you very much. So this is our last Lunch and Learn for this season. I just wanted to alert you to the fact that we will have an event. I can't tell you what it is, but it's on May 4th. Late in the afternoon, so mark that in your calendars and we'll tell you more about it. And thanks to everyone who's come out to our campus community events this semester and last. It's been great to see everyone, and take care. Happy springtime. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.